Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Like any normal week, Linda and I will be talking and she'll say something like, oh, you should do a podcast about that. And, a couple weeks ago, she said, you should really research Micah chapter 6, verse 8. You should do a podcast about it. And so I was looking at it into more detail and studying, and it really got me thinking. I was like, man, that is going to be a great topic. And so here's what I want to know, right? I want to know, I think it answers a pretty easy question, but as we kind of jump into it, what I'm going to try to answer today is what God desires of us. What does God desire of us? And so as I read Micah 6:8, we're just going to jump right in. And so we start with, he has showed you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And so as we jump into this, I may veer off topic a little bit, but I'll bring it back, I promise, right? And so what I want you to think about is, Linda and I talk about numbers all the time and numbers in the Bible, and it amazes me at times how many numbers are part of the Bible and how important they are, right? The number 7 is used about 735 times in the Bible. And just in the book of Revelation, 7 is used 54 times. I've said this before. I'm with Bikers for Christ, and at BFC we commonly wear a patch that is 777, and we do that because this is a number that represents kind of the threefold perfection of the Trinity, right? 777, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it can also be a sign of getting divine guidance, right? As I started doing research for this and I was searching like, what does number 7 mean in the Bible and what does 777 mean? It actually says that it can be a sign of getting divine guidance. And so to me, that was kind of amazing to think about what that number can represent. For us from Bikers for Christ, I think the Trinity is the best explanation. But man, if you start to really research numbers within the Bible, you're going to find some just amazing things. Another example of that is the number 3. The number 3 is used 467 times in the Bible. The regular occurrence of the number 3 is the Bible pointing to God's sovereignty. And so I think it's interesting. I think numbers are interesting. And like I've said many times, I'm a data guy. So I think you should go do some research and look at it. And so as we jump in, we have to understand that for years, people have wondered, about the purpose for life. People's like, why am I here? What are we here for? What's God's plan? And so I think to understand those, we have to understand what God desires of us. And we need to recognize that there are 3 things, and that's why I mentioned the number 3. But I think there are 3 things that are a foundation of the law of God, right? These are the 3 things that we need to get right. If we have any chance of being a society that can serve the people appropriately and adequately, these are the 3 things we need to get right. And they're in Micah 6:8. We keep asking this question, what is it that God desires? Well, the prophets of the Old Testament, they spoke on behalf of God, and Micah simply, he simply responded to that question in 6:8. He has showed you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, this is an amazing verse, and it may seem simple, right? But the Bible is teaching us about justice and about mercy and about humility. And as simple as it may seem, I think it's worthy of us spending some time learning about and reviewing it. I really say living by this instead of learning about it. That's what I should say, right? Instead of saying we learn about it, we should really say that living by this. We have to learn how to live by this instead. All right, so as I said, there's 3 things that we need to get right. Micah told us, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. So we're going to spend some time breaking down each of these, and hopefully it will show us the things that God requires of us to answer that one question we keep asking, right? That one question of what does God desire of us? And so we're going to start with act justly. You see, God wants our undivided mind. You know, we're supposed to be honest and fair in all of our interactions with people. If we are just with people, right? If we act justly with people, what that really means is justice, right? To act with justice in mind. And so this covers a considerable amount of things, right? Right? If we're going to act with justice, it's going to prohibit things like oppression or suppressing the truth or corruption. If we're acting justly, it's going to prohibit these negative things. You know, we should feel a sense of responsibility to what might be considered people that are less than in our society today. And you notice I want to make sure you understand I said considered. I want to make sure you recognize I said that, considered less than. I think far too often we judge people that we might see based on how they look. We make some assumptions, right? Well, that person doesn't have this or doesn't have that. You see, that's not acting justly. It kind of goes with last week's podcast about the Good Samaritan, right? You know, during Micah's time, this audience that he would have been talking to as a prophet, the audience he would have been preaching to, they would have understood that act justly meant living with a sense of right or wrong. They would have known that. And, you know, the key to our life, right, is we're supposed to act or walk upright, right? The Bible says in Psalms 51:6, yet you desired faithfulness in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. We must settle kind of deep in our hearts to be a people of integrity, right? That's like foundational, right? It's you desired faithfulness even in the womb. So from before we were born, we desired faithfulness. Before we were born, we were taught wisdom. That's why I say deep in our hearts, we have to understand that we have to act with integrity. And we got to be on guard in the battle to do justly, to do justice, to be justly, to act justly. You see, God is deserving of our heart, our body, soul, our spirit, our wisdom, our judgment, our understanding, all these things, because he created us in his image. You know, God deserves all of our devotion and all of our worship. Every day we're presented with these opportunities that will tempt us in this world to compromise our character. We have to make decisions based on what's right, not what is easy. Decisions based on what is right. That's acting justly. Decisions that God would make, right? He deserves our devotion every day. And so the second thing that Micah talks about is love mercy, right? You know, so we talked about act justly, now we'll talk about love mercy. You see, God wants us, he wants our unreserved love. And what that means is that God wants our complete love without reservations. That's the easiest way I could probably explain it, without reservations. Justice and mercy are both foundational to God's character, right? Love mercy contains the Hebrew word hesed, which means loyal love or loving kindness, right? This has to do with a relationship, with a covenant love for one another. It means a faithfulness to God and his people. Love, mercy. Reaching out to those in need, showing love, caring for them. Love, mercy. We have to show a genuine compassion, a genuine mercy to those in need. That is an act of kindness, right? We have to desire to do good to others. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. He said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And then in Matthew 5:7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And also in Mark 12, Jesus said, Mark 12:30 and 31, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." So when he talks about love, mercy, it's everybody, right? It's that covenant love with everybody. It's that faithfulness to God and his people. We are God's people. And so if you see people in need, you're supposed to reach out to them. You're supposed to care for them. You're supposed to love them. Like I said last week, don't just say, "Oh, I'm going to pray for you." Go help. The final part of these three is to walk humbly. And this is where we're taught that God wants this unconditional obedience. You know, walk humbly is a description of our heart's attitude toward God, right? Walk humbly. You know, as God's people, we must depend on him, not on our own abilities. I know this is hard for all of us. It's hard to depend on God when in our nature we want to take control of a situation. I know I do. I'm the worst at this. And I work on it daily. And of course, we have this relationship with men and women. We have to, right? Every day of our lives, we have to do these different things. And it's that desire to love and act justly that it seems like, well, I mean, it's pretty impossible to do all of these things if the relationship that we have with God isn't in a good place. And maybe I can try to rephrase that. If we don't have the relationship with God that he desires, right, to walk humbly, to act justly, to love mercy, how can we have that relationship with men and women that they need? See, God's our creator. He knows best how we're supposed to operate, how we should operate. We're made in his image. And if we want to get the very best out of our lives, out of the world that he has placed us in, then we got to follow instructions, right? I think today we have all these self-help books that tell us to how to do this, how to do that, how to, you know, how to lose weight, I've read a bunch of them myself, right? How to be a good leader, whatever it may be. But the best self-help book we have, people are afraid to read, I think. I think there's times people are afraid to read the Bible because, well, if I read it and I know that it's the truth, well, then I have no other choice but to follow it. That's the instructions that God has given us. We must walk humbly every day, period. To walk in this constant prayer with God, right? I mean, if you look at 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble." And when Isaiah saw a vision of God, he said, "Woe is me." When Daniel saw God, he said, "My beauty was turned into corruption. No man has had an encounter with God and come from it with a feeling of pride and greatness." You see, we have to first acknowledge our sins. And then we have to be willing to submit to God's mercy. And it's only through humbling ourselves that we will be allowed to walk with God. That's the truth, no matter how you shave it. So this is probably a short one, but we've reviewed the three things that should show what God desires of us. But I'm just going to do a quick recap, right? The response of a godly heart is outward, right? That's the act justly. That's the do justice. It's also inward, right? Love mercy. And it's also upward, right? Walk humbly. It's upward to God. You know, humility is knowing what I am, acknowledging that God made me this way, and giving him the glory for it. Period. I think as we think about what God desires of us, we have to really sit in prayer and silence. And if you're not sitting in prayer and silence with the Lord, you need to start. Even if it's 5 minutes a day. And look, I'm not sitting here prescribing that you got to get on your knees and you got to be in this specific stance in this specific room, right? I spend a lot of time with God when I'm on my motorcycle. It's peaceful. It's silent. It's beautiful. It's where I can talk to God uninterrupted, right? The phone can't ring. The, you know, people can't knock on the door. I'm alone with God. I challenge you to find a place that you can be alone with God. Get rid of your cell phone, put it in a drawer, you know, ride a motorcycle, drive a car, turn the radio off, whatever you have to do, go in a closet. Get your little war room, little prayer room. Spend time with God. And you will learn what he desires. Hey, it's Rick. I hope you have a blessed week. I hope you like it. And if you need something, send me an email, hello@nomadpastor.org. And if you need me to pray for you, send me a message. If you like this, share it with your friends. I look forward to doing these every week and studying, and I look forward to you listening to them. And I hope they mean as much to you as they do to me. You have a blessed week. Thanks.